Amen. It's good to see everybody. I got to say, when the music started, I was a little worried. Losing that extra hour, you could feel it today, right? Whew! My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here, if you don't know me. And I get to share with you what God was putting on my heart. You know, it started a couple Saturdays ago. You know, we have morning prayer. I just want to put a plug in that. Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock, we meet here. And whoever's speaking typically kind of gives a little word about what God's talking to them about, right? And then we spend about 30 minutes praying. And afterwards, we talk a little bit. We share what God we hear, what God talking to us as we're praying about. Give declarations about that. It's a wonderful time together, right? God gave me something, and I could just feel it. And it had to do with Him being both Lord and Savior in our life, right? And I spoke that out, and I go, oh, I was like, I'm feeling this. I didn't understand all where it was going or anything. And then Dwayne comes up to me, and he's like, hey, you know, when you said that, oof, I could feel it. And he's like, is there a message in there? And I'm like, I don't know, might be. And so I started just praying and exploring that, and I was got with him. I'm like, yeah, there's something there. So now you guys get to hear it. Yeah. And so I'm still, and you have to forgive me for this, I'm still a little bit hesitant because the way God talks to me is so heavy sometimes. I'm like, oh, these poor people. I'm just gonna poke them in the eye really good, and they're like, oh, you know. And I know I've got to get over that because I'm not the one coming up with this stuff. It's just part of the way I process things. It seems to be like how it comes out of me in the way I see. I pick up on things that other people might not necessarily see the same way. So it's going to be challenging. And one of the challenges I recognize, like in the room right now, there are people that you've got, like you're in different places in your walk with God. Because we've got people that are brand new here today, right? We got people that maybe have been walking for a while and been to different churches and had, you know, maybe grew up in the church their whole life and their different experiences, different denominations, whatever that looks like. But they're new to new life, right? We've got people that have been doing this forever and a day, right? And so we got all these different kinds of places that we're at. And so as I'm talking today, some of the things might be like, I have never heard anything like this, right? Some of it might be because of our culture. It might be, really? We're going there? Right? Just know I love you. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you, because there is something we have not stepped into that we are designed for. Right? And so if you're familiar with the ministry of New Life, we talk a lot about walking with the voice of God, okay? And I think when Dwayne started that, it wasn't popular in the church culture yet. That was still, oh, you're hearing voices, huh? You know, it hadn't quite made it into, I don't even know if it's in the mainstream yet, but like you, since that time, I noticed that God was talking to a lot of people about this, right? And it started showing up in the music and different things. And so it's become more, okay, yeah, that's something I can receive, right? There's something very powerful about it, though. Because as you walk with the voice of God, there is an accountability to God that automatically steps into that when you're willing to hear, okay? And so Jesus has this relationship with God as a man, where he has nothing keeping him from relationship and hearing, okay? So he can hear God, and he makes this statement, I only say what I hear him say. He makes another statement, I only do what I see him do. So he lives his life out of a place of communication that is fully submitted to the authority of God. And this is key. This is super key. There's nothing that Jesus did that wasn't from a place of submission, that wasn't from a place of service to those he was ministering to, and that wasn't from a place of love. Nothing he did existed outside of that. Something happens, though, that we might not recognize. When we see Jesus, we read about him, right? We see what he does, and the miraculous happens. He walks on water. Food appears seemingly out of nowhere. He touches people and they're healed. Spits in some mud, sticks it in someone's top of their eyeball, right? An eyeball appears, right? All kinds of things happen. He speaks, the demonic is subject to him. He speaks and people are like, there's something about this guy. God's working in this one. God's with him. What is that? What is that? That's favor. So we use the word grace, and it's very Christianese to us, right? But that's what grace actually means, favor. For us, it's favor that we don't deserve because, you know, it's all God. It's not because we were like awesome and God's like, you know what? I like you. You can be my son. Right? Nobody qualified for that except the first one, Jesus, right? But that's what you see with him. And see, Jesus operates this way from a place of a man being submitted to God under authority. The Samaritan, you remember the story of the Samaritan? He's got a daughter needs to be healed. He comes to Jesus and says, hey, can you heal my daughter? And he's like, well, let's go. He's like, well, we don't have to go anywhere. I know you've got power and authority. You don't need to move. You speak it, it's going to happen. He's like, whoa, I haven't seen that kind of faith even with those who say they're of the faith. Right? Because they didn't recognize who he was. But he operated from a place of submission to authority, so he had authority. So now, here at New Life, we keep reminding you that in the scripture, over and over and over again, it talks about you stepping into a place where you can hear his voice. Because my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Over and over, you see this weave through all of the New Testament, that the Word of God, which is the voice of God, is the thing that does everything that needs to be done when I receive it, when I let it do what it's designed to do, and I give it away. So I'm going to say it another way. We're trying to help you recognize that favor is designed to be upon you. The only way you get it, though, is when you submit to heaven. If you want to know why we don't have a lot of power, probably has to do with we don't have as much submission that would equal the favor being moved into that space. How does that work? Okay. So if God says to you, the person in front of you right now, I love them. I want to heal them. Go pray for them. Do you think he wants to heal them? Do you think he will heal them? What's your reaction, though? Ooh, what if it doesn't happen? Oh, man, I don't know if I can qualify to do this. Ooh, this could go bad. Let me pray about it a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Like, all kinds of things just pop up inside of us. We're just like, ah! Now, we don't recognize we have a problem with his lordship. Just kind of pause in there so you let that sink in. We have a problem with his lordship. We don't believe who he is. Because if we did, that wouldn't be our response. Right? There's way too many times God's said something to me, and he's like, step into that. And I'm, oh, really? I don't think, oh, man, you know what? I'm really not believing God's God right now. I'm thinking, whoa, man, what's going to happen to me? You know, I end up making it about me because I can't see me doing that. I could see me experiencing pain. I could see me being embarrassed. I can see me, like, we make it about us, right? So you could say we're selfish. I know we don't want to say that, right? But that's what it is. We don't recognize it, but that's what it is, right? And so there's this blockade from us actually stepping into sonship because of selfishness. When I'm able to step into sonship the way I'm designed, and people in the house know, like, when I say this, I'm talking about men and women. Like, when he's talking to you and he's working with you, he wants to work from you, that sonship is operating right there. Doesn't matter, male or female, doesn't matter. Sonship exists only in the space of lordship operating. When I step out from underneath the covering of lordship, the sonship falters. Why? Because I'm not me without him. And he didn't step away from me. I stepped away from him. So it just, like, it doesn't work the way it's designed to work, because if it did, it would completely subvert his authority. See, because we'll experience God moving sometimes, especially when we're brand new, right? We're brand new in this thing. God just, like, you need so much help to understand. You don't have no clue what's going on. Like, no clue. I'm going to love on you in ways that is going to blow your mind because I want you to know I'm real. But don't be under the illusion that you're stepping into sonship because I heal because you prayed for somebody. Right? That's because I love them so much, I'm not going to let you mess it up. You see what I'm saying? He loves people. He loves you. He loves people. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. He wants me to understand lordship. Funny thing, though, I can't get to lordship, understanding what that is, without him being a savior first. See, his ability to be the savior is preps me to actually receive him as Lord. Because if I don't receive the forgiveness, if I don't receive the relationship properly, and so when I talk about him being Savior, I'm also including the minister's responsibility to tell you that when you believe in him as Lord, you're like, okay, yes, you're God, you're Lord. Jesus, you're the one who died for me. You're the man now. I'm going to follow you, right? The ministry's responsibility is to say, okay, you need to be baptized because he said that, right? You are designed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and anybody that tells you that that's not for you now, I'm sorry, they're wrong, right? I love them. I still love them. I don't think they're the enemy. I don't think they're the Antichrist, right? I'm not like, ew, you guys are bad. No, you've received something that's not true, like a billion things I've received, right? I just happen to understand this one well enough. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? That's all part of this deal. But you start walking in that, you've got this, him as Savior is a whole lot easier than him as Lord. See, because him as Savior is him doing everything. See, now when I step into him being Lord, it requires me to die. There is that space where, like, if I'm going to follow his voice and do the things he says. See, it's not just him asking me to do things because he wants to get stuff done. He's asking me to step into this relationship with him so he can help us discover who we are. Because like, like when a child walks, does he like what age did your child walk? Just pick an age. Pick somebody. Tell me. What? Two years old. Started walking, right? So they're like crawling on the floor, right? And then they say, okay, I'm going to go for it. And then, boom, they run down the street. Right? It's like, what up, pow? What up, pow? And then they're like, oh, I'm not sure I like this. You know, we're going to be a little more careful. Right? But it's the same with us. Like, he's designed us to run. But he's got to get us to walking first. Right? But for us to run in sonship, like, we've got to step into that. So, like, there's a large group of people in this room right now. For you, that like, that's the biggest part of this message. Like, I've got to agree with the fact that lordship, his lordship is part of the equation. And the reason why he wants to talk to me is because I can't step into my identity unless I recognize his identity. Okay? And I've got to press in. I've got to press in. I've got to press in. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what I want. My opinion doesn't really matter. Okay? His opinion is the only one that matters. Fair, unfair, doesn't matter. Good idea, bad idea, doesn't matter. Okay? It's a good idea because it's his idea. He's Lord. Right? Think about this. Your two-year-old is like, no, I don't agree with that. And you're like, what are you talking about? You don't know anything. You have barely been outside the house. How are you going to have an explanation for anything? Right? That's about the equivalent of it. You know, we think we know. We're clueless. I barely understand what's going on the planet, let alone know how heaven works. Right? And we're trying to understand, like, think we know spiritual things? Like, could it be we're really clueless, but we just keep patting each other on the back? Well, yeah, that was good, brother. Okay, so that was just the groundwork for the next level. So for you that are ready to hear what the next level looks like, let me break it up with the scripture. This is going to just kind of cement in the idea I need you to grasp. The fear of the Lord, this is Proverbs 9 and 10. Everybody has probably heard this a gajillion times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, it's definitely Solomon said something, you know. He's like, oh, yeah. And you're like, yeah, that sounds really good. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but man, that sounds true. You know, the more I recognize who he is, the more wisdom I'm going to have. Because to see him as he is, to have revelation about, or more revelation about who he is, it is like, oh, how would I even argue with this? How would I even have the gumption to be able to tell God, nah, I can't do that? Or that's a bad idea. See, and so if I was to say it another way, I've been so foolish so many times and under the illusion that I am wise. You know? Because when I actually experience the Holy One and I come to some knowledge of what it's like to interact with him, that's when I start getting understanding. And the word is start. Start getting understanding. So, if Jesus, when I said that, like, Jesus operated as a man, right? If you think that he operated as the Lord of glory in that space, I want to challenge that belief. Because see, we can think Jesus operated because he is the Lord. Dun, 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 dun. And so he speaks and then things happen, right? We can think that. But there's a scripture I want to bring you to, Matthew 28:18. This is what Jesus said. See, this is when he's resurrected. He never says this before he's resurrected. But when he's resurrected, he's taken the keys, he's taken authority, he's already been with God. He went into hell, he came back, and he delivered them. Jesus says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. See, now I'm not just your teacher. I'm the one you're accountable to. God has given me everything. And his reply to you is, I want you to go and baptize and make disciples. But God, I'm not qualified. But God. Right? I know, because I've used most of them. As the man, he was showing us how we're designed to operate under authority. The problem we have with this image, though, is what it didn't show us was that it is multiplied, it is more powerful than when it's just us. Because if one submitted to God can put 1,000 to flight, two submitted to God walking together in unity can put 10,000 to flight. See, we haven't even got there properly yet because we're still dealing with the first one. There is a space that we're designed to go into that I want to talk to you about. And I've never said this before, but if this really hits you, consider finding this message later on, listening to it again, and also giving it to somebody that's not in this church. Right? Because I'm going to say some things that I'm going to be challenging ministry on specifically, and I would be perfectly okay if some other ministers heard this, because we need to know this. All throughout the Bible, you see this in the Old Testament too, where God chooses a man and we get focused on the leader and forget that there's so many examples of him putting other people around him to accomplish the goal. Okay, consider Gideon. He's hiding from God. He's like, I'm nobody. God's like, no, you're going to deliver the people. Get up. Okay, stop arguing with me. Get rid of it. Let's go. Okay? He's like, okay, we're going, right? I'm not sure we're going to do this, but okay, right? He's like, gather the people. We're going to get you a little army. He's like, yes, an army. I'm not by myself, right? And then he weeds them down to 300 people. 300. It's not an army. That's like a company. Maybe two. Right? But they were in unity. Now, we get to like celebrate Gideon, but we forget Gideon wasn't alone. See, we can't tell the story and go through every single one of 300. Take too long. You can't preach from the pulpit. Wouldn't have made it in the Bible, right? It's just too long. So obviously the 300 weren't that important. You see what I'm saying? That's how we like think about it without thinking about it. But he had 301 people unified that didn't even have to fight. And God put favor on them in such a way, the enemy just killed themselves. You see what I'm saying? Right? So if we can operate as one by hearing his voice, walking with him, submitting to him, and God will do things that are absolutely amazing where people will see God. The glory of God is going to be revealed to people because his hand is on what we're doing because we're submitted to him, because we're under authority, because we're okay with it not being about us and about being about the people that we're serving, about him. And it is enough for him to say, go. We're like, okay, we're on it. He empowers that in ways that it just blows our mind. We have a whole nother level of operating together. Now, when we operate together, there's two roles. And in our culture today, we're not really keen on this. There's a follower and there's a leader. Right? In the room right now, everybody in the room right now falls into probably one of three categories. Right? Maybe four. Actually, I'm going to put four in there. I'll save the fourth for last. Right? Like, hey, I'll follow. No problem. I'll follow. You go ahead. I'll just follow you. Right? We got the people that, okay, I'll follow. You need a leader? Okay, I'll lead. All right. You got the people that, I'm going to lead. I don't want to follow. Right? Then you got the people that, I don't want to do anything. Do you know why we're like that? We're like, we have moved from the first three categories being the predominant way we operate as a group in America to the last one seeming to be the most predominant now. Right? Am I wrong about this? Is anybody else seeing this? Right? Do you know why that's happening? Because we've messed it up extremely bad. And primarily, right, I'm not blaming the government, right? I'm not blaming anybody first except the church. First. Do you know why I blame the church first? Because we're the only ones that have the example of Jesus, right? If anybody's supposed to be able to do it, it should be us. You see what I'm saying? We can't expect the government to do it because they don't even know Jesus, right? We got a few people in there that might know Jesus, but most don't. So we come from a country like, and it's popular right now to just like beat everybody up from the past where everybody was wrong, everybody was bad. Bad country, right? But we used to be predominantly a Christian country. We had different denominations, right? But people trying to serve God the best they know how to do, right? And we caused a lot of damage. We led poorly. We beat people up, right? Manipulate you to get you to do what needs to be done. So God will be happy. We're selfish about, you know what? I'm going to manipulate you for me, really, but I'm not going to let you know. Because I don't even really know. I'm manipulating you because it helps me. Because I won't even admit it to myself. Or I am admitting to myself and I'm really a scoundrel. But I'm going to pretend to be a man of God. Right? Or I've got these things in my life that are just, because the way I was brought up around leadership and the way I've been treated, this is just the way you do it. And we have damaged people after people in ways we don't even understand. Some of the damage just is in the example of walking as leaders without even following God's voice. Just doing the best we can. Now, there have been so many amazing people, right, that never really got into being able to walk with the voice of God, who were leaders, right, that were able to bring a level of love and compassion and service that was absolutely amazing. And I do not, like, put that down at all. I mean, if there's anybody on the planet that can do a high level of walking with love and serving people and they don't have Jesus, I appreciate you. That's why it's so rare, though. Right? Because it is not easy. But we have Jesus. I am pretty sure all of the Bible's talking about this. I'm pretty sure, like, this is the point. Right? This is the message. This is what we're designed for. To actually serve one another in love. But you can't put two people together and try to go after something without someone following and someone leading. It doesn't exist. If you're not sure about that statement, try it. Go build something. Don't communicate and nobody follow. Just both of you lead. Let me know how it goes. Send pictures. It's not going to work. Why? Because you're not psychically connected. You don't know what the other person's thinking. You don't have the same vision. Right? Now, that's just building something. How about leading a family? How about leading in the church? How about leading a team? How about leading the group that's washing the windows? Right? Because we don't know how to do it, there's all these areas in our lives that we have never, ever even been able to apply it in the right way because we don't even know what it looks like. This is the challenge. Like, he's also talked to me about some things. There's ways that we can step into this, but we can't get there until we agree we're wrong. We can't get there until we're like, you know what? I am so messed up. I need healing. I need a savior more than I've experienced from already because there are things broken in me. There are strongholds in me that are keeping me from being able to follow Jesus because this is where he's leading. See, when he confronts you with this, and then asks you to stand up in front of a bunch of people and talk about it, I am struck by how much damage I've done. I've got my son here. I've got grandchildren. I've got my wife. And in all of those relationships, I'm the leader. Not because they voted me in, right? But because that's where I'm at. God wasn't like, yeah, that's optional. And I can't tell you, I know, I can see it. My kids struggle because of what I gave them. I didn't know how to do it any other way. I'm not like beating myself up over it, but I'm not running from the idea that that is on me because I never submitted in other things that God asked me to submit and I kept on waiting. I kept on waiting. I kept on waiting and putting it off. And when I'm ready, I'll step into those things. And when I'm ready, I'll say yes to God about things. And the byproduct of that is I didn't grow as quickly as I could have. I'm an elder in this house. When we went after appointing elders, it was because God was showing us there is a role for elders. We were completely unequipped for that. We had no idea what we're getting into. We had no idea, and I think few still have the idea of just how important it is to have the right heart and to serve people well. I appreciate Dwayne's walk with God in this house. See, you guys don't have the privilege, and I know he hates I'm saying this. I know he hates it. I love you, brother. I have the privilege of walking with a man that the reason why I'm able to see some of the stuff I'm seeing right now is because that's the way God told him to operate. And he's like, I don't necessarily know how to do it, but this is how I'm going to operate. Right? I'm going to not put things on people that I think they should be put on them by the way I've taught because God's telling me to leave it alone. You know, I'm going to focus on, it's not about me, it's about them. See, you hear it in the way he talks, right? But you don't know that's the way he lives. I'm telling you that's the way he lives. And he facilitated me stepping into more and more because he went first. That's a leader. There's some, specifically men in this room, I'm telling you, you are designed to lead, and you are definitely married. You're designed to lead. You can have so much more. You can change the world that you live in and put favor on the things that are in your hands, because when you submit to Him the way you're designed to submit, His favor will be on it, and the glory of God will be on it, and people will see God. Your kids will see God operating. Your wife will see God operating. The people around you will see God operating, and you will provide a pathway for other people to follow. And this is the dilemma we're in. It's a chicken of the egg problem, a chicken and the egg problem. If I don't know how to do it well, how do I step into it? And the challenge, like, this is where, I gotta say this carefully, or else it won't be received right. This is the blessing and the curse of being a man. Our wives can't follow us because we don't know how to lead yet. And we think we do. And the wives in here, the ones that are actually going after this and following, my hat's off to you. Because I know we haven't made it easy. And there's a whole culture of women that are offended with men. And I understand why. But that doesn't make it so that you can't follow. See, now I'm talking specifically in the marriage, women, right? But I want you to know, when I was talking about leading, that also applies to you. Because there are spaces you are designed to lead in. And he's not calling you by accident, right? He's not telling you, step into this and lead. And it doesn't alleviate you from following when you're designed to follow. That applies to the men too. If you can't follow, you will never be a good leader. Because it's the same principle. It is based off of service. If I'm not serving the best needs of the ones I'm actually following, if I'm doing it for what it gives me, it's selfishness. If I'm doing it to make somebody happy, it's the wrong motivation. If I'm, whatever I'm doing in that, if I'm not doing it from a place of, I want what's best for you, I want what's best for the mission that we're on, I want what the best thing that come, and I want to bring my best self to it, I'm not following correctly. And an amazing thing happens when you put a leader that operates from a place of, I'm going to operate from love and selflessness, and I'm going to lead so I'm serving you, and that the mission is not more important than you. It is easy to follow. Those two work together well. It is easy to lead, because if you ever led somebody who doesn't want to be led, who's hard-headed, wants to do it their way, thinks everything you do is wrong, right, will show up when they want to show up, you're just like, oh, I'll just do it myself, right? It is so much easier, right? But when you put those two together, you can conquer almost anything. That's what we're designed for. This is the way that lordship operates. Because I lead out of service to Him and service to the people I'm leading. I follow out of service to Him and the people I'm serving. And because we don't know how to do this, we are destroying everything around us. That's the facts. See, life doesn't work without His lordship. Do you see what I'm saying now? See, lordship isn't just something that's like the cherry on top, you know, or the extra sauce, or I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the only way it works. We stumble around in something other than what we've been designed for because we don't know how to do lordship correctly. We don't know how to submit correctly. Now, for you that are wondering, right, but every time I step into that space, I just get so beat up, I just work myself to death. Okay, that's a whole nother problem. That has nothing to do with this. This is a brokenness of a different nature, that there is a way to overcome that also. Because what you tend to do is you tend to serve when God didn't say serve. Right? So you're still being disobedient, but it looks real good. Okay. I don't want to go on because, like, I know, like, this is heavy. I know this is heavy. Well, the places I would go, I don't have permission yet, and I heard this over the last couple days, specifically Friday I started hearing it, and then yesterday very specifically, that I'm going to leave people behind. Like, see, there's a weightiness to standing up here and telling you what God's saying. There is a weightiness. And part of the challenge that I respect men of God that hear his voice and actually do this is one of the weightinesses, I'm presenting to you something that you are free to tell God, I don't have time for this, or I can't absorb this now, I've got to move on. And it's to our own detriment. I hope you heard me on that. See, because if I go on and give you more and give you more and give you more, then you're going to move off of this. And like, if we don't get this, right, we're undercutting everything we want in our walk with God. This church, it functions okay. But it would be unbelievably amazing if we got this. We would be so shiny. We'd be so healthy. The most impactful ministry would be the one nobody sees. It wouldn't be the platform. Because they would be able to, people would come in and be able to connect to a group of people that could live life transparent, being willing to challenge each other on how do we be the best person that we can be. And it's not okay for us to settle for our own selfishness. And you're not selfish because you're evil. You're selfish because you're broken. And we need to get healed. This is the space we're designed to live in. But we have to go here. We have to deal with this. We have to repent. We have to receive him as Savior again and say, God, that there is something broken inside of me and it is not okay. I am not okay being a father and not being able to lead my children well. I am not okay with being a husband and hurting my wife in ways I can't even understand. Not because I'm mean, just because I'm not following God. Because I can know better, but I choose not to know better. For the wives, like, I've been told not to submit to my husband because men cannot be trusted. And that lie is killing me. I have cut off a whole area of blessing in my life to perform at an extremely high level where favor and miracles and blessings are operating, but I don't know how to access it because I'm afraid. There are those of you that have already touched ministry in this house. And you don't know why it hurts so much. You don't know why you experience so much pain. And you know he's asking you to step into some places and carry some things. And you are still running from him. And he's telling you it does not have to be that way. It doesn't have to happen the same way. And you don't have to be the person that you learn from. Being in ministry is designed to be the most fulfilling thing you will ever do. Being a father that ministers to your family is designed to be the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do. Being a mother who ministers to her family is designed to be the most fulfilling thing you will ever do. We just haven't touched the thing that'll bring us life the way it's designed to. Go ahead and give him some music. I need it too. Please, just, we're going to close. We're going to stand. God's desire for you, my desire for you, is that you would be made whole. You that have been called into ministry, it might be nebulous, it might not be clear, but you just kind of know, yeah, I remember the day he said something to me and I've been running away from it. And I haven't really been able to find it because it seems like every time I go for it, it just slips out of my hand. And I make such a mess. There is revelation and there is healing that needs to happen in ways that I can't even begin to give you because it's very specific to your situation and what God wants to heal you from. The same applies for you fathers out there. There is a healing that he wants to give you. There is revelation. There is a confidence that you're designed to operate in. You are designed to be the biggest blessing your family will ever receive. That's what you're designed for. That's what he's trying to give you. But you have to agree with him first. For you wives, I don't know if you caught it, but after the first song, I went up to my wife and asked her to pray for me, and she didn't know why. But he told me to submit to my wife. Because there is ministry. There is a leadership inside of her that I need. I can't be me the way I'm designed to be me without her being her the way she's designed to be. And if anything that we've done as men that sent a message to you women that you are not important and powerful, it is a lie. You need to be free to hear something different without fear. He wants to talk to you about who you are. And you too have been highlighted to me ever since the song service. Yes, I know, I'm sorry, I'm freaking you out a little bit. But he just put it on me again. You, both of you, are a powerhouse for different reasons. And I want to tell you, I appreciate your spirit so much. You add value in ways that I can't describe. You have a connection into heaven that releases life around you. And so everything he's telling you, and this applies to every other woman in the room, everything he's telling you about who you are and what you're designed for, it is not him just talking because he has nothing to talk about. It is him describing the reality he's calling you into and inviting you to be that person. If there is someone in here that hasn't known him as Savior yet, he couldn't love you any more than he already does. He can't do any more than what he already has done. And what he has done for you is set you free. All you have to do is agree that he is the one that can do it. That he is the one who is the Savior of the world. That he is the Christ, the one who operated as man and who operates as God. And he was willing to die so that you could know him because there was just no way for you to get to him. And so he took the thing that separates you away, and it is no longer a barrier on his part. All you have to do is to receive that. So they're going to sing. While they sing, I'm asking the ministry to come up. Anybody who's involved in any type of leadership role in this house. And they're going to stand before you. And if you feel inclined to have them step up and pray for you, please avail yourself. If you've got any inclination at all, if you've got any tug. And I'm asking you that are leaders to recognize that there is an anointing and there is a favor that is upon you to bless the people, to give away what heaven is giving, because God uses us. He chooses us to operate on earth. And what you have to offer is valuable. But we need to change the way we're thinking. We need freedom. And there is a God that everybody in this room, He wants you to be fully free to receive everything that you're designed for. So just go ahead and start praying as we sing these songs. Let Him do what He's designed to do for you. Receive what you're designed to receive. Because today's the day.